time is a
special fellowship, and it's can be a very helpful time, I think, for us to go on, because we're all at different stages in our spiritual life, and some of those questions you may have, you don't know who to ask them to, and your professors don't have an answer to them. We're not sure if we have an answer to them, but any questions related to life, you know, any questions related to experiencing the Lord, the brothers are going to be passing out papers, so, you know, we'll have some fellowship. You can just consider before the Lord, how we can help one another grow. So your question is not, how can I pass my exam, or, you know, what do I need to do with my roommate who doesn't listen? But something in relation to your spiritual growth in life. Amen? So the brother will maybe give us a response. I don't know if he'll give you an answer. But at least a response. So if you like, just write it down and then pass it to the side to one of the ushering brothers, and he'll bring it to the front. Or we'll have a box here. You can just either pass it to the front, and then whoever's in the front can put it in the box. Okay? So, amen. We'll just start with that. And then I think the brother will share a little bit about this, right? To start, or?
Yes.
And we're also going to pass out these things.
There's a whole box there.
So if you haven't received this yet, you can get your own copy.
Just pass it out. You know, with this, seeing the meaning of our life, okay, I'd like to share six words with you that one of the brother Minoru shared with us, that with a vision comes a direction. You got it? Now we have seen the vision, right? From eternity past to eternity future. Right, and our role in there, the meaning of our human life, according to God's plan or God's purpose. So I'll give you an illustration. With the vision brings in a direction. So what is our final destination? So I always like to use GPS. It's called God pointing system, not global point. No, you need to set your God pointing system to address. They will ask you, what is your address?
Jerusalem.
Is it Egypt? Is it your CEO? Is it your Bill Gates on it? I don't know. Better be New Jerusalem, okay? So definitely put in the address, New Jerusalem, right? So with a vision, that gives you a direction. Or, you know, that sets your course for the rest of your life, right? My life is, I'm New Jerusalem bound. I'm even not only bound, but I'm to be a part of the New Jerusalem, okay? So the first two words is, with the visions comes the direction,
amen.
Right? Vision and direction. And second word is commission. Commission. So today, in Paul, he's been saved in Acts 9 and Acts 23-27. There's several places where Paul, when he was converted, he saw the vision. Lord, who are you? Right? And Lord, what am I to do? Two things he asked the Lord. So we need to know the Lord, and the Lord show him what he is to do through Ananias, but also through the, not only through the Lord directly, but also through the body. That he is commissioned to be a witness, right? So with the vision also comes a commission, right? I mean, we have a commission. So that's why we encourage all of you to study the word. Of course, you need to study hard. But why go to school? We go to school so we can be trained in our mind to receive the divine revelation. Right? We need to be trained. And also we encourage as many of you, if you led by the Lord to go to, we do have a training we call full-time training. In North America, I think we have over 15 places all over the world, but in North America, we have a training, full-time training in Anaheim. It's a two-year program after you graduate from your college, right? There's some requirements. You have to read the Bible. That, you know. So hopefully, all the serving ones will help you. At least you have to read the Bible. You have to read 11 books. So here in Southern Ontario, we're helping you 4 years to help you to be training prepped. You know, college prep, I don't know how many books you have to read to go to college. You know, Taming the Shrew, I don't know. George Orwell, 1984. Anyway, those are the books I read. Pride and Prejudice. I don't know what books you read to get into college, okay? But for the training, there is a preparation needed. You need to read the Bible, etc. Okay, so we need to be commissioned. Right? I mean, commissioned. For example, West Point. Oh, no, I'm not in the United States. A Royal Academy. We have a sister here. Don't look, you know, she's a Taekwondo expert. He went to Royal Academy. She's driving a jet fuel plane or whatever. A sister hiding here, not here, you know. She went to Royal, what is it called? Royal Academy? Anyway, so West Point of Canada. So, okay, you may be commissioned as an officer, but do you have a mission? Yes, we're preparing, but may the Lord also give us a mission. You don't have to wait till the training. What is your mission after this weekend on your campus? We're commissioned by the Lord to be a witness, right? To be a man, you know, representing. But we need also, Lord, what is my mission? You know, when that siren goes on, when the call comes on, what is your mission on your campus with your family? And anyway, so the last word I have is, with the meaning comes the purpose. When you find the meaning of your human life, then you have a purpose. That is with a goal. Okay, just six words again. I'll repeat it very simply. Vision, what? Comes with direction. When you see a vision, you set the direction, the course. Secondly, we're commissioned. But what is the mission? Right, there are many missions to this commission. Paul has three journeys. You know, the Lord called him to go out. He's commissioned, but he has missions that he goes. And with the meaning comes the purpose.
Amen.
So we hope that all of this, you can live a really meaningful and purposeful Christian life and a church life. Okay, but with that, okay, so everyone has that copy of this. Something's very practical. So you got it. Okay, so that just says, so, but make it very practical, very practical. Actually, let's read. Can we just read on this side? A Vital Christian Life?
Amen.
Can we? Let's read the first five together. Call on the Lord deeply and affectionately for 2 to 3 minutes after rising up. Okay. So I know the meaning of my life. So what is so practical? It's wake up early in the morning. So we have set together, it's very practical, okay? You say, I'm the meaning of the universe. So what do you do? As a man, you wake up, what do you do? Lord Jesus. How about this? We need to practice, right? We need to be practical, connected. Our spirit needs to be connected. How about this? That's all. Because we've gone through this with the college students, right? Last time. And we've gone through with the churches around here in Southern Ontario. So, but we hope to share this with you. You must develop a personal, affectionate, private relationship with the Lord.
Amen.
You can't be a jet a pilot. You cannot be a jet plane without a fuel. This is your fuel in the morning. Okay,
right.
It's very practical. Okay, it's number one. Okay, so to call on the name of the Lord 2 to 3 minutes. All this is in twos and threes. We talk about 2 to 3. Okay, 2. Masticate 2 or 3 scripture verses thoroughly and joyfully every morning. Right? That means chew on it. You know, I mean, I don't know how to say it. You need to, like a cow, right?
Regurgitate
your full stomach. Right? I mean, for example, a verse you read in the morning. Whenever the heart shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. You just take that and pray read. Oh, whenever. Lord, now. Oh, Lord Jesus, this morning, I had a bad dream, Lord. I dreamed I didn't pass my test. Oh, Lord, okay, whatever, now, oh, now I turn my heart to the Lord. Lord, my heart. Oh, my heart, Lord. Yes, right? Whenever, Lord, you say, whenever my heart turns to the Lord, Lord, to you, the veil is taken away. Lord, take away my burden. Take away my veil. You know, just use the Lord's two words to pray.
Amen.
Not only one time, but throughout the day, right? You pray, read. Okay, number three. Can we read it together? Contact God sincerely with petitions and thanksgiving two or three times a day. So we have 2 to 3 minutes calling on the name of the Lord, 2 to 3 verses we can pray, read, and 2 to 3 times a day. So I have set my alarm clock in the morning at 3 p.m. and also 6 p.m. I mean, we have all smartphone, right? Isn't our phone so smart it reminds us to pray? That's why it's called a smartphone. Like, can we not set a time? How about in during the day? Like when your phone beep, beep, beep. I remember one time I was turning 401, right? Beep, beep, I was taking you home, Lord's Day afternoon. Beep, beep, beep. So what do? We prayed. Taylor was singing, huh? Beep, beep, beep. Okay, amen. Oh, Lord. Lord Jesus. So I don't know what we prayed. But you know, if you set that time, may the Lord remind us to pray 2 to 3 times a day. Okay, that's very practical. That will help you keeping your spirit. Four, let's read it. Pursue 2 or 3 chapters of the scripture consistently and persistently each day. Wow. Okay, 2 to 3 chapters. We have many Bible reading schedules, but here I really want to thank some of the brothers. Louise, thank you, Louise. Where's Louise? Oh, yeah. Yeah, thank you for sending out. Okay, so what we have is we have a Bible reading challenge. If you like to, sign up. Send an email to your serving ones. So every morning, right, hopefully, we have students, not me, you know, students, they will send you the portion of the Bible to read. So in 1 year, check your email. If you read that portion, you know, I enjoy that, then you can finish the Bible, the New Testament, in a year. So we do have a Bible reading challenge program where we just send you email every morning. You just have to open it up and read it. So like 2 to 3 chapters, you can finish reading the Bible.
Amen.
Okay, so do, I believe many campuses, other campuses, you can come together to read.
Yeah, right.
Right? What college? Algoma College. Okay, say you have 2 or 3 brothers together. You have a schedule, right? You have a schedule together. Okay, I mean, you don't have to follow us. How about this semester, let's finish the Gospel of John or whatever. Or the 4 Gospels, example. Then you set a schedule. Everyone agree, you know, college, set a schedule. So maybe once a week you get together. I read 2 to 3 chapters, but at least at that time, we can come together to read that days. So brothers and sisters, you can get together and read the Bible. Amen. So that's 2 to 3 chapters. Number 5, read 2 to 3 life study messages carefully and engagingly each week. So each week, you know, sometimes we call the Holy Word for Morning Bible. You can use that. The ministry books, the life studies, we have so many books available that opens up the Word of God. So we encourage you to read, right, the ministry books, 2 to 3, okay? Okay, so that's personally. And let's read 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 together. And then the set of 2 to 3s for our church life. Okay, let's read, okay, 6. Meetings of the church regularly every week. Prepare diligently to share 2 or 3 minutes prophecy on Lord's Day. Blend with 2 to 3 saints as vital companions to intercede and bear fruit corporately. Devote 2 or 3 hours cumulatively per week to contact and visit people for the gospel. Shepherd 2 or 3 unbelievers or believers steadfastly. Okay, amen. So we have questions. Maybe you can take a look at first, okay? Questions. Okay, so this is for the church life. So tonight, the brother's going to share about not only Christ, but the church. Okay? So this gradually, but first of all, we would really like for you to develop a one-on-one, personal, intimate, private, spiritual, forwards relationship with the Lord. You need that as a root, or else you do not have a root in your Christian life. You're just floating around. It's like a tree. We need to be deeply rooted and grounded in the Lord personally. So the first 5 points. So I'll finish here. So basically, you know, we're in Southern Ontario here. We encourage in the matter of 1, 2, 3 homes. One is that you one-on-one, as much as possible, have one-on-one personal relationship with the Lord. Okay? Yeah. Okay, so you have a question. We're still waiting for questions, okay? You have a question, please put in the box, okay? And two, that means two and threes. Right? You have these two and threes. 10 twos and threes here already. So go back, take this, you know. 2 to 3 more minutes calling on the Lord. Okay, all the twos and threes. And also, the key to practice the twos and threes is also you need to have companions in twos and threes. Amen. Each campus, find your companion. We cannot be alone. Look at Daniel and his companion. Yeah. So that's a very crucial principle in the Bible. You have the revelation of the church in Matthew 16, but the practice of the church is in Matthew 18. It says, whenever two or three are gathered together, right, the Lord gave us authority to bind and to loose. So let's practice twos and threes. And the last thing is homes. Find a home to go to. Amen. The two or three of you, okay, break in. No, not break in. Invade. Or find your parents, okay. Find a home that you can go to. And over there, they're going to talk about homes open to the students. And here we're encouraging you to join yourself to a home. Amen. Okay? So, what is it? 1, 2, 3, and home. First base, second base, third base, then you have a home run. Okay, I'll finish. Go ahead. Yeah.
I have more questions, right? Do I really need microphone?
Yeah, you should go.
While we are collecting the question, I can give you a little bit testimony about twos and threes. Actually, the word companion, Bible emphasizes this matter, twos and threes, so much that actually the word companion, you know, somebody knows the Spanish, right? I have no idea what the Spanish, but what's a companion means? According to Spanish, there's some particular meaning, companion. I heard, which is very applicable to our family. Basically, companion is come means with, and then panion has an actual meaning is a breath. In other words, your companion is the one with whom you eat food with such an intimate and open relationship. So, in that sense, don't you think we all need a companion? You need a companion. I need a companion. There is no one can make it, even humanly, to take care of a lot of things individually. We need someone. That's why even in society, everywhere looking for some good friends with whom you can do something, you can hang out, you can have fun, you can study, kind of thing. But actually, spiritually, principle is exactly the same thing. We need a companion with whom you eat, you pursue the Lord, you care for one another. Eventually, in such a relationship, we also have a little bit feeling for our friends. But very hard to bring your friends by yourself to the Lord, eventually to the church life. You need a companion to do that thing together. So I give you one testimony that there are a group of students, brothers, coming to in Columbus. It started this way. One brother, we have about 6 to 7, about 8 brothers. One particular brother coming to camp, he felt lonely.
he really didn't want to eat lunch by himself. So he asked a brother, brothers, you don't need to pursue, but I need someone to eat together. So, and two brothers came together, started to have a lunch, weekly lunch appointment. Nothing spiritual, no Bible, nothing, just they ate together. And then third brother find out these two brothers coming together every Tuesday, can I join you? Because I don't want to eat, you know, the Chipotle by myself, that doesn't taste good. So three came together. And once three came together, what happened? They start talk about the school. And then they start to find out, oh, each one has some particular difficult point. And automatically what happened was they start, hey, can we have a little bit of time to pray? Of course, brothers pray usually finish within 30 seconds. Lord, help Stephen. And Stephen, amen. Help this and that. 30 seconds, they pray for everything. Am I right, brothers? I hope you sustain 30 seconds, sometimes less than 30 seconds. Lord, thank you for this food. That's about it. But anyway, they start to have a little bit of ate together and concern about one another's life. And then they have a little bit of prayer. And then we had a kind of relative new brother among us. He was kind of lonely too. And then these three brothers went there. Hey, what are you doing Tuesday? And then nothing. Would you like to have a lunch? Yes, but schedule is a little bit conflict. So these three brothers in relationship, they have feeling. They adjust their time a little bit to accommodate one. So fourth brothers join. So brothers are slowly increasing in this way. So all started with one lonely brother who didn't want to eat lunch by himself. And eventually what developed is not only they ate together, they played basketball together, and then at a certain point their conscience started to activate. Hey, we need to do something flavor of a spiritual activity too, okay, otherwise. So recently they start to read ministry together. Don't you think a brother feel brothers doing much better than before? Actually, they are doing much better because they came together, eat, shepherd one another, and play basketball. Eventually, through the basketball, they invite their friends to play basketball and lunch and sometimes reading the ministry. And then these brothers are taking care of a Bible study Wednesday evening by themselves. We all the serving will actually step back because they have a great time. So anyway, brothers, companionship doesn't start something really big. You just come together with someone to do something simple. But if we have this kind of good, healthy practice, you will really, really enjoy it. But I hope you remember, you never can make it spiritual life, church life, without a companion. I know some of you do not have anyone on your campus. Can you raise your hand? You are the only one on your campus. It's okay. That's not your fault. Like, you just happen to be that way. I know it's very difficult if you are alone, maybe a couple of one brother and one sister. Yeah. So that's why we also need to be a little bit wise, using a little bit technology. And then one also brother, there's a brother named Andrew, which is the same name with me. That's why I like him. I don't know. So he's kind of like alone. He's alone. Small community college at home. And he very much, he's living in Indiana. Literally in the middle of nowhere. In order for us to visit him, it takes 4 or 5 hours. He was alone. But he had this kind of feeling he cannot go on by himself. That's why he frequently contact brothers everywhere. So he felt connected. So because of that, we pray for him. We invite him over to Columbus State whenever he wants. Now this is in March, we are going to spring break trip. Happened to schedule is the same. He joined, his mom will drive him to Columbus, 5 hours, drop him to Columbus, and we pick him up from Columbus, we take him all the way to Philadelphia for blending trip together. So, point is very, very important. We need the Lord personally. We also need companion. Okay. Whoever doesn't need a companion, raise your hand. Yeah, whoever doesn't need companion. Whoever need a companion, raise your hand. That's very good question, right? Anyone need a companion, raise your hand. Yeah, we really do need a companion. So I give you a short testimony. When I was a military service in Korea, all the men is a national duty military service. I put in the boot camp for 3 weeks. The day after I got in, first thing they did was they paired me up with a two person, you know, in a big room, in two big rooms. One room about the 68 people staying together, one room. That's a military service. Good thing you don't have to go there, but I have to go. So, they call it life unit. I didn't know what it meant, life unit. So, life unit is I have only one space. This much space. There's a trifold mattress. Have a little bit space for my personal stuff. So, one row is about 34 people, and then have a hallway, and the other side is 34 people. So 68 people staying in the same room. So you think about one or two person snoring hall, every 68 people get suffering. Anyway, there's nothing we can do about it. It's a national duty. But interestingly, in the process of training, they put me with these two person called life unit. So I didn't understand what even life unit. Okay, life unit is this. Very simple. When you sleep on the bed, left person, right person is your life unit. So the rule is this. Wherever you go, your life unit people must be with you, even including going to the bathroom. So, you know, military service is quite strenuous. So once it's time to sleep, sleeping is the most precious thing. You can get my blood, but you cannot take away my sleeping time. Only 5-6 hours. So tired. But even in the middle of the night, if you like to go bathroom, what do you do? One, two. Otherwise, if they don't cooperate with you, you are not allowed to go bathroom. It kind of sounds very inhuman, but you have to see the context. So I had to go bathroom a few times, but because the whole atmosphere of the boot camp, only we could survive boot camp by taking care of one another. That's only you can make it. They made the whole training purposely so that you can live together and die together. That's how you make the soldier ready to go out fight. Otherwise, if you don't know how to be one with one another, how would you go out to fight? So I still experienced that one time I had to go to the bathroom. Both of my life unit was so generous, they are willing to work out. Went with me. I almost in tears. It sounds very funny to me, but it's real, okay? You know, why like this is, in this kind of experience or some particular strenuous experience, without a particular person taking care of a particular person, it's very hard we couldn't make it. So this is absolutely human military realm. In the church life, some spiritual warfare, in a lot of human complications, we need companion more than anything, any person. We need a companion. We cannot go on in the Lord without a companion. So brothers, sisters, whatever campus you go, look for someone to be with you. But principle is, that person is not like an ideal companion. It doesn't matter. Life unit, one thing I learned the lesson, who are my companion? Not life unit, what kind of spiritual term are companion? Who are they? Where are they? Left and right, most close person. Just we care for one another. So hopefully this a little bit doesn't sound supplying the story. Really give you some impression that we all need companion. Any brother and sisters are good candidates. As long as, like this brother named Jerry Lee, as long as I have someone to eat lunch. All started that way. Now, 5-6 brothers coming together, they eat, they play basketball, they read the Bible, they read the ministry, they take care of Bible. All sort of things happen. So brother says, do you eat lunch? Raise your hand. Anyone eat the lunch? Raise your hand. Do you eat lunch? Okay, not down. Right. Do you have a lunch with someone? I'm talking brother and sister. At least once a week. Or you eat lunch by yourself. Hopefully you just have I'm just approach 2 and 3 in a very practical human way, but spiritually in anything, home meeting in the church life, we need companion. Companion. With bread, fresh bread you can eat together. That's why I have a companion. Many, but at least one person companion last 21 years with my wife. No. So, anyway. Alright. Do you need a companion? Yeah, please. So in the beginning of our campus labor, Columbus, we ask students only 3 things. Here is a little more complex. Our emphasis, 3 things. I told the student that even you can forget about my name. It's not going to offend me. But remember the 3 words. If you remember 3 words, you're best student in Columbus. Number one, have time with the Lord personally. 101. Number 2, companion. Number 3, find a way get into home. If you do these 3 things, you are the A+, brother and sister in church in Columbus. I promise I'll take him to steakhouse at the end of the year. I'm waiting until the May. I need to save money to take a bunch of students. Okay, we can have some questions. Yeah.
That is who started.
Yeah.
So I said we would respond. I wouldn't answer. Okay. So a question here is, what is the difference between natural affection and being Jesusly human? Is there a difference? Well, there is definitely a difference between natural affection and Jesusly human. Natural affection, many times is sweet in the beginning, and it becomes sour very fast. So maybe you like someone maybe you have things in common and you love them, but then as you get closer, if your relationship isn't based on pursuing the Lord, then it becomes sour and bitter very fast. Or another example is a brother I was in a training with, I had no natural affection for them. And this will tie into another question is, how do you shepherd someone that you can't relate to? How can you shepherd someone you cannot relate to? Well, it's wonderful if you're put with someone that you can't relate to, because then you really need the Lord. So this brother who was my assigned companion, is I just didn't like him. He didn't, the way he drove, the way he ate, the way he, just the natural affection wasn't there. So what do you do? You're in the car together every day, and we had to pray, right? It didn't happen overnight, but I knew if I would love this person, it would be of the Lord. It wouldn't be my love. It wouldn't be a natural affection. So it's sometimes better if your companion is someone you don't like so out of your natural love, because you have to go to the Lord, right? In your personal time with the Lord. So I think the Lord just needs to shine in us. So another characteristics of natural love versus divine love, there's no limit with divine love, right? This natural love runs out, but the divine love is unlimited. All the characteristics that you have are limited as a human. But the Lord has given you someone who's unlimited. In Montreal, we've been reading the All-Inclusive Christ. And there was an example is, I can't deal with my husband or my roommate anymore. If one thing more happens, I'm going to break it. And Brother Lee asked a question. How have you been able to deal with it so far? And the response was, only by the Lord. Well, do you think the Lord is so limited that he cannot help you deal with it one more day? So the Lord is unlimited. We just need to come to Him, and His life is unlimited. So another question just quickly is how to develop a deeper, personal, affectionate relationship with the Lord. And the second part is how to deal with anxieties prior to graduation. Well, the first thing about personal and affectionate is think of it as a relationship. You know, I've been married over 10 years, and you need to tell your wife you love her, right? Same with the Lord. You need to tell Him you love Him. So if you want a personal relationship with the Lord, then you need to be personal. Not in a way of praying, Father God, I know you're up there somewhere. I'm down here by myself. These kind of prayers aren't very personal. But if you pray, Lord, draw me. Or let me kiss you. You know, let me kiss you. That's what the Lord says. So I think it's just in our prayer, we just, the way we speak, right, to someone we love the most. So the first thing in the morning, many times, Lord Jesus, I love you. Very simple way. Lord Jesus, can we say that? Lord Jesus, I love you. You don't have to feel it. You just have to say it. Right? It's not because your feelings change. You know, the sun is here today and tomorrow you can't see it. Is the sun gone? No. So rather you love the Lord is not based on your feelings. It's based on a fact. Because you love Him because He first loved you. So a lot of these divine facts, the more we declare them, the more they become real to us. Many times I don't feel like I love the Lord, but we still say it. Lord, I love you. Lord, I need you. You know? So these kind of prayers, and I think this ties in with graduation, is everyone is anxious for tomorrow, right? We always are cheated by the enemy to live. Not for today, but live for tomorrow. And I struggle with this a lot because I always like to plan my whole life and plan things out. So you're always anxious. What's going to happen? One day I was like sitting there, I'm like, why am I so anxious of something I cannot change at all? You know what I mean? I cannot change what's going to happen next tomorrow even, let alone 2 months from now or, you know, 3 months from now. So gain the Lord today, right? Learn to enjoy the Lord today. I'm not saying don't apply for masters, don't apply, all these things we need to do. But we miss the Lord so much today, right? The Lord's grace is sufficient for tomorrow. No, my grace is sufficient for me today. So regarding to anxieties, graduation, the Lord knows. And fellowship, right? I think we also learn to fellowship and other brothers, fellowship with the body, and we pray about it. That's why you need a companion, right? You need a companion to pray about these things. Lastly is, I'm now bothered by the situation where sometimes I'm going to have morning revival or the Bible and I feel a sudden unsettling feeling and make me give up on the thought of contacting the Lord. What should I do? Well, I had the same experience this week, and as soon as I was about to pray and spend time with the Lord, I just felt exhausted. And I was like, what is this? I'm trying to spend time with the Lord, and now thoughts come. And the verse that came to me is we need to captivate, right? Or take captive every thought, right? Well, we need to say the enemy, stop. Right? He knows you're about to pray and spend time with the Lord, so what does he do? He sends darts. Right? So, please don't give up. You know, it is a matter of separating the soul from the spirit. So, maybe one help I could give you is take the word and just turn it into prayer. Right? The living word operates and kills all the darts, right? So, Hebrews 4:12, right? Through the living and operative word. That is the sword of the spirit. So we need to take the word and, right? inner being, actually the thoughts comes from inside of us. We need to separate our soul from our spirit. So this feeling, unsettling feeling is not from God, I can tell you that. You know, the enemy will put all the darts. Oh, you failed yesterday. You know, you didn't have it, you completely failed. Well, something I've been saying to the Lord is, well, I can't promise you I'll be with you tomorrow, but I have right now. So I want to be with you right now. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow if I'll spend this time with you again, but right now I want to gain you. So be real with the Lord, right? Don't live in the past, don't live in the future. Just live right now and be saved from condemnation.
But the matter of the deeper and personal affectionate relationship with the Lord, I think we can, I would encourage you to read the Bible. There's a book called The Song of Songs. Right? The book before that is called Ecclesiastes. That is a vanity of vanities. It's written by the same person, Solomon, King Solomon. Right? I mean, that whole book before is vanity of vanities. But yet, the next book, the book, Song of Songs, written by Solomon, if you have more, go give it over there. Please read that book. And if you have, time, you can go online, or buy the books, you know, on the matter of, on the related with the Song of Songs. I think personal he described, it has to be personal. Personal means it's relating to me. I cannot enjoy the Lord for you. Right? Something is very personal. Actually, we are his personal treasure. We are his treasure. So, you know, there's something personal. I like to expose myself a little bit. Maybe 15 years ago, I like to have teapots. So I went to China and bought a lot of teapots. You know, those teapots where you can, you know, cultivate a teapot and especially during winter time, right? It's, you just fill with tea and you smell it and you hold the pot in your hand. Oh, it's, you know, I mean, it's very personal. I mean, sisters, I don't know whatever jewelry you have, right? Sometimes you take it out. Oh, okay, look at this. It could be pearl. I don't know, whatever you like, okay? There's something personal. It's very personal to me, you know. But every time I come back from a trip, my teapots will break. My daughter said, I broke it. And she gave me a spiritual lesson. He said, because the Lord tell me you love your teapot too much. So it's broken. So amen. So the teapots are replacing the Lord. So I don't play with teapots anymore. You know, but it's very personal. It's something you have in your possession. We actually, before we have the Lord as something personal, we are his personal possession. Think about it. We're so precious to him. Don't think, so the whole point in Song of Songs begin with the drawing, right? We're attracted by him. We're drawn by him. We're captivated, captured by him. So I think the whole thing is just be open to the Lord. It has different stages. Don't pretend, okay? Morning Revival, okay? In the Morning Revival, the Holy Word for Morning Revival, or even the Bible, or even our prayer, could become a religious duty. Right? So you think about, oh, I'm so tired, oh, I gotta, no. Okay, because I, you know, some people know my wife's not here, okay, good. She's here, it's good, she's not here, it's good too. It's not, you know, because I travel quite a bit, she's not home, and you know, I love Skype. Or whatever, now FaceTime, WhatsApp, you know, whatever. So now, throughout the past 10 years, we have developed some things that we always call each other. I call her 3 or 4 times a day. until say, don't call me anymore. I'm so busy. Okay. That's my secret. Okay. Can we stop calling the Lord until the Lord says, okay, no, I know. Okay. You know, I mean, it's that intimate. You have to spend time. All I'm saying, you're not there to, you know, if my wife's here, I'm doing all the flowers. I'm, you know, doing things. I don't even look at her. I don't know what to say. You have to develop. So even my daughter came now this time. Okay. She broke my pot. She was young. Now she's like, I mean, look at you too, you know, I mean, we're always on, you're like a child, you're chatting all the time, talking nonsense. My wife and I, you know, oh, I say, what did you eat? What did you have breakfast? You know, I mean, all this nonsense we're talking about. But you know what I mean? You have to learn how to talk to the Lord in a way, Lord, hey, Lord, I'm not happy. Lord, I wake up, Lord, I'm so tired. Well, I can't do it. That is the point. Yeah. We're not here to do morning revival. Yeah. We're not here to, we're not here to, it's not the duty, saints. It's our coffee. I don't drink coffee, but I drink tea. It's our coffee, the Lord is the coffee in the morning. The Lord is the energy. I don't know what you drink, a Red Bull, you know. I don't know what you drink for your test. I know. He is everything. So when we wake up, call upon his name, read the word, it's not a duty, he's our breakfast. Right? He's our donut or you know, whatever you have, okay? He's our juice, okay? So how about this? Stop. Stop all the thoughts of religious duty. Yes. Just love him. Amen. Just wake up, say, Lord, amen. I mean, yes, we're giving you this 5 points for you to practice. You know, but you know, as someone told me, you know, there's a James, right? Practice kung fu, right? You have this one, right? Two, you know, three, a four, a five, you know, you do all the kung fu practice, right? So we're teaching you, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 10, right? All the moves. But when it comes to this, which move do you do first? I can wake up in the morning singing songs, right? Every morning is different. When I'm teaching, okay, 1, 2, 3, right? 1, 2, 3, right? Do I start with the right foot or left foot? Just walk. How about in the morning? You can sing. You can pray. You can pray. You got to touch that person. So the whole key, saints, is that we have to be strengthened. Touch the Lord, not just reading, you know, with our eyes. Not just thinking about the Lord, but touch him. The calling, the prayer reading is to touch the Lord in our spirit. Amen. When we are in the spirit, we're so strong in our spirit, we will be able to discern what is the soul. Right? The question is, what is the flesh? No, he who is sown unto the flesh will reap, right? Every day we're sowing. Even good flesh will sow flesh. Our problem most likely is not just the good flesh, the bad flesh, it's the good flesh. So we need to pray, read the word. The word of God is living and operative. It's able to, what? Divide the soul from the spirit. Amen. Because we're so mixed up, you know, all the questions will follow, you know, we're second category of question, my future, this, that, okay. I will let them answer first, okay? If we're so clear about our spirit, then you have the sense of life and peace in your spirit. The anxiety comes from what? Mind. Emotion, up and down. Oppression, depression, suppression, whatever oppression you have here. Or you're so high. Or our sovereign will. So all the problem comes from the soul. Right? And also the body, because of sin, we have the flesh. So the spirit wars every day with the flesh. Right? So this is the organ. Whenever our mind is set on the spirit, Romans chapter 8, right, is life and peace. Whenever our mind set on the flesh, is what? Death. So we need to follow this sense, the deeper, right? I recommend to you the book Song of Songs. Develop, just read it, and the notes, whatever you have there. That's one thing I want to touch. So I touch a little bit the difference between natural affection and Jesus the human. It's by the fruit. Sometimes, I don't know, sisters, you're so buddies, you know, I know, oh, I love you, you know. Brothers, I guess we fight. I hit you, you hit me, then that's brotherly love. I mean, guys, right? We're guys. And sisters, then all of a sudden you hate each other. I don't know. How does that go? Oh, you were best buddies, friends, and okay, companions. We're talking about companions, right? But the companionship has to be in life and in spirit. Amen. Not just physical, but not only in our soul, but it has to be spiritual.
Amen.
Right? So the best way to be together, is to, same thing, you know, the matter, either you love or you hate, right? Someone you do not relate to. Some people, I don't know, I just look at them, I don't like them. I don't know why. It's just some people you just don't like. I don't know why. Right? But that is seeing people according to our eyes. Now, how do you relate? I think the best way is by prayer. You know, how do we know if it's a natural affection or not? Prayer. Plus the cross. Anything that cannot come out of resurrection is the flesh. What comes out is life.
Amen.
It's a resurrection life. So a lot of things we have to pray. This person I like, I don't like. Lord, let us pray.
Amen.
Right? If we really like each other, let's pray together. Right? Uplift our relationship.
Amen.
Not only to be natural. Yes, I mean, in a sense, we have to begin with I like you, you know, if I don't like you, sorry. Okay. But we have to pray. The Lord places us in the body, second thing, because they were forced in what? Military camp? You're forcing FTTA. In a church life, I don't like you, so what? You know, I don't know. But, sorry, you know, when we talk with the body, we are tighter than the military or FTTA. That means we are members of the body. What can we do? It is God who has placed us in the body. Corinthians and Romans, right? So, and also God has blended the body together. So it is in His sovereignty. We're in this church life with this person, with the one next to me. God has placed us together, right? So may we pray to come out of our natural affection.
Amen.
In finding companion, pray and the cross. So it is a spirit and a cross that will really help us to know, to discern what is our flesh, and what is our natural man, and what is of the spirit. I'll stop here. That's
another category.
I hope the brother says we are not trying to attempt answers to all the questions. Actually, we are not qualified. We just hear based on our limited understanding experience, we try to have fellowship. So, in a sense, we are not able to respond all the questions either. One thing I appreciate all your questions, I think all these questions is very precious. Actually, these questions, you don't have to hear all the answers this afternoon. This question can be open in your ongoing pursuing in your church life with some brothers and sisters. Because a lot of things is very comprehensive. It's not like you can solve the problem today. In some cases, like you need years. Some cases, whole life you need the answer. But I like to speak a little bit, a few principles and then some things so that at least how we approach these matters properly, humanly, as well as spiritually. You have a different question concerning the training, I mean, even college training and full-time training, young people, how to pursue, how to choose a companion. All these things is a very, very important question. Just while I'm reading it, just one verse came to my mind. That is the book of Acts, chapter 2, 40. If you read the book 42 and 43, that verses. Actually, church life and pursuing the Lord in the church life is like this. Day by day and house to house. You know, you may not think, why you think about that verse related to this question. Actually, all this question and you're considering, you are not sure, you feel peace, you don't feel peace. This is ongoing basis. So day by day with a group of brothers and sisters in a proper way, also house to house, by pursuing the Lord, by enjoying the Lord, by pursuing the fellowship with some brothers, and by praying together, you start to see one after the other some particular answer. Like, for example, I tell you about the FTTA. You know, everybody go to the full-time training Anaheim a little bit different way, all according to Lord's particular sovereign hands in supply and arrangement. Not two person went to training in the exact same way. I went one way, my wife went to training different way. Like my wife cases, my mother-in-law consecrated her five girls, daughters, when they were young. Especially my father-in-law passed away, and she consecrated her five children to the Lord. So my father-in-law passed away a long time ago. So she started to raise up these five girls by herself. Really difficult life. She's very low educated, but she was absolute kind of all five girls. Prayer day in, day out, day in, day out. Eventually, Lord honored their prayer. So my wife, Lord opened the door after door, and then she went to training. After she went to training, she started to pray for younger siblings. And out of five, only two went, but three didn't go. So point is this, the Lord's sovereign arrangement is different. Lord's leading is different. But important part is we seek the Lord. We fellowship. Sometimes fellowship, always you get the clear answer right away. But Lord is real. Church life is going on day by day, house to house. You are eating the physical food. You are eating the spiritual food. And you are personal. And the Lord starts to become, Lord starts to open. Give you a clear sky. In that kind of healthy environment, you start to see. And you start to realize how the Lord leads. And that to some kind of peaceful sense of life. So I hope all these questions you answer. So if you are not clear, good to pray. Lord, what about it? And while you're praying, hey, I need some particular fellowship with some brothers, sisters who may give me a little bit. So you pursue the fellowship. So in the church life, in book of Acts, chapter 2 said, day by day, house to house, they pursue the truth, they fellowship with the apostles, and then they participate and they pray. Bring all these things together. Eventually, one after the other, you will become clear about what to do. Full-time training, the same thing. Some of you ask about the college training. If you ask me the college training, in principle, I encourage everybody to go. I've been to college training not many times. This summer, I'm going to college training. This is my 22nd time of college training. But unfortunately, I've never been to college training as a student because I was not Christian at that time. I became Christian after I finished college. So I had a lot of feeling for college training. But even then, I don't blindly say you must go. We encourage you to go, but at the same time, each one has a little bit different situation. What do? You pray. You fellowship with the serving one. And then sometimes serving ones feel good. Brothers in the church feel good. What do? You pray. So the Lord open the door for you. Sometimes, Lord may not open the door. What do? Lord, this summer I cannot go. But I really have a heart to be trained. So every step of in our life, we pursue the Lord in this way. We pray, we we seek the Lord, we enjoy the Lord, we fellowship, and we pray again, and then step by step, heaven is open to start to lead one step after the other. You know, so I know many, also each situation is very, one, I can give you one testimony quickly. One student, one brother, really liked to go training. But his professor, summer program professor, he said, no. You have only short program, and then you skip the 1 week? No way. And then this brother said, professor, I really like to go. And the professor looked at him. I know this brother very well. Seems very serious. And then he said this, Mr. Professor, I will do whatever you ask me to do if you let me go. And professor, initially, he was joking. He thought he was joking, but he was serious. And then eventually, professor gave a very special homework, day-by-day homework. So he went to training, and every day he had to sacrifice his break time to take care of a daily assignment by professor. He did it. Guess what? He got the A, the highest score from that class, and he still went to training. And following year, and then another class, he still had to go training. He did approach Mr. So-and-so. That professor did almost exactly the same thing, and he went training. So what I mean is this. We need to have a pursuing attitude. Don't give up easily. If you really like to go, pray. Our God is a God, real God, God working, God opening the door. That's how, I didn't say my, but my train. I couldn't go. There are too many doors, too many problems, too many situations. But one feeling I had, Lord, this feeling came from you. So I like to go. And then my family asked me, how'd you go? I still remember my answer, I don't know. But I really like to go. So I pray. Pray every morning, pray again, pray again. Eventually, brothers realized I had a strong desire. And brothers, a group of leading brothers in Texas started. I joined them, and they joined me. We prayed together. The Lord started to open door after door after door after door. That's how I could go training and stay there for 2 days. So, point is whether I should go or not. Of course, we encourage as many young brothers and sisters, if the Lord opened the door, please, well, this is the best place. I mean, I'm not promoting FTTA. I'm not here. I'm not representing FTTA. My wife and I, we always talk about this. There was the two most brightest, glorious, wonderful time in her life, in my life. We got married, and after we finished training, we met together through the training, but we didn't get married during the training. We got married after I finished training. And then our prayer has been, Lord, you are willing, we'd like to send our two children the same thing we saw it highly. So brothers and sisters, important part is you pursue, you open, you pray, you fellowship. Lord, really open the door for you. And then I have a lot of complications. I cannot answer everything. But one is this matter of vital companions. How can we find the vital of the brother David? I have a very wonderful answer. It's, you know, companion is very needed. And then what about how to avoid the natural relationship? What is it? Do I have this kind of thing? Do I have that kind of thing? You know, vital companionship, we pursue the Lord together. Yet while you are pursuing the Lord in a healthy way, you know that companionship really helps you to know the sense of life within. You pray together. You shepherd one another in love. Don't you think our spirit is getting strengthened and getting, and then we learn to follow the sense of life. Companionship is not what you're supposed to. Companionship, living expression in the Lord with one another, living even relationship with one another in the Lord, eventually growing, developing, and kind of thing. So, in a sense, our real vital companion, number one vital companion is the Lord himself. That's why we spend a little bit of time, we open everything to him. At the same time, in the Lord, with the saint, we start to build up the companionship. But everything is ongoing learning process. You don't have to have a perfect companion for the rest of your life with the saint. It's not like that. Sometimes, Lord, honor this way, environment got changed, we can have this thing. So I think this may be the what I can answer you, but I do know this is not the answer you are looking for. But actually, if you pursue the Lord with this kind of view, a lot of answer you will get. It's okay? So, if you have, you can think.
Thank you. Well, we have at least 30 sheets up here. So we kind of categorize them a little bit.
Yeah.
So it may touch some of it. And as Hesep said, we don't have the answer. Do you know who has the answer? The Lord. He has the answer, right? So we have to go to Him. I think one of the questions, there's so many questions here. I really like to respond, to some of it. One of them is how about the New Jerusalem? There are 10, 15 sheets here. I'm just trying to find the question I remember. Is that how to apply, the matter, how do you become, pursue my education? Okay. How do I pursue my education while pursuing the New Jerusalem as the goal? That's related with, your either education or I'm graduating, right? How do I apply the whole thing to my future, right? My future, that's related. I just want to read the questions. That's natural relationship. I think we fellowship about. How does it, the question, there are more questions I did not see. Okay, prepare if you pray the Lord. Future. Okay, if you pray to the Lord and talk to Him about your future and what He would like you to do, but you don't feel a peace of friends, what does it mean? You don't have a good, so I would recommend a book. All the answers are in the book. It's an open book. I would recommend the book, The Experience of Life. If you want to know what is the will of God, please go to that book, The Experience of Life. Okay, but I would like to say something. You look at the life of Abraham, right? Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? God called Abraham out of Ur, the land of idolatry. So God was Abraham's GPS. He showed him the direction. New Jerusalem. I mean, at that time, it's typified good land, Christ. He showed him. But God did not give him, you look at where he went. He went Canaan, Egypt. It's not a straight path. He went out, and GPS said, turn left, go up north. He also had to go down south to Egypt. But the Lord said, go north, So, the whole interesting story, brothers and sisters, I will answer very quickly. We are not only going to New Jerusalem, we are becoming the New Jerusalem. John saw the holy city, New Jerusalem. That means it's done. It's completed. This is in present tense or past tense. I don't want to say, but right? That means actually we are becoming the New Jerusalem by being transformed, by letting in every situation we have, actually, God is saturating our mind. So we will have the mind of Christ. So we'll love as He loves. So we'll be one with God's will, the Father's will as He is. And eventually, this is called transformation, eventually glorification of our body. So we are the ones who drink of the Spirit, right? Out of our innermost being shall flow rivers of living water unto eternity, unto eternal life. So remember, the New Jerusalem is not only our final destination, but it is also who we are. Do you get what I'm saying? So today we are letting Christ saturating us in all our decision making. So we'll become part of the body. The church is today, right? But the reality is the body, the bride, the kingdom. But ultimately, we're consummating in Jerusalem as a corporate person. So all these questions, how do we, yes, we have the GPS. That means we have to be connected. So look at Abraham. Everywhere, what kind of life does he live? He lived the life of the altar and the tent. So I would recommend all of you of that book. Number one, you have to consecrate. And for your marriage, for your job, for your education, right, even have your children. A lot of people, I can do whatever when the children come, I better live a new life, right? For my kids. Okay, no, but every stage of your life, you have to consecrate. You say, Lord, I'm graduating. I'm consecrating myself for Christ and the church. Lord, I don't belong to myself. I belong to you. I want to consecrate my future to you. Right? So unless you have that consecration, your life and your future is still yours. So may we begin like Abraham. Every station that he went through, he built the altar. That means consecration. Lord, I'm not my own. I belong to you. Okay. Now, decision A, B, C, or D, the Lord will lead you through, first of all, peace. And also listen to the last message of last weekend. Special conference. We have the headship. So we have to go to have a direct, personal, intimate, again, the two words that Ed Marks used, relationship with the Lord. In that fellowship, it is the Lord leading you. Right, so you don't want to come to training. Oh, but David told me to come to training. So I don't like the training. It's his fault. The brother sent me to the training. Oh, no, I come here. I take this. No. I mean, if you are clear, you're for Christ in the church, the Lord will speak to you. In that intimate fellowship, you'll have the sense and the leading. But also, the second thing in that book it tells about, you have the confirmation from the body.
Yeah.
You have your companions. How about this? Pray with your companions.
Yeah, right.
Which college should I go to? Right? Should I go to the training or not go to the training? Right? Give it to the Lord, that body, right? With the twos and three and fellowship with the brothers. Fellowship with the older saints.
Yeah.
You know, and the third thing that he mentioned, is actually the environment. I may want to go to training. I decided to go to training, right? And the body, amen. But something happened. Could be the family, who could be personal, that you cannot finish training. What is the attitude for the training? You know, one question is, when I go to training, how should I view the ex-FTTA trainees? I mean, they're just normal human beings.
Yeah.
So the training is to produce normal, living, and functioning members of the body of Christ. They're not special. It's just that there's an environment for you to be perfected in the matter of vision, ministry, truth, life, character, service, the gospel, hopefully language, and all these things. So some people say 1 year of training equals 10 years of the church life. But you say, okay, it's okay. But it's not you go to the training. You need to have a learning spirit. Actually, you should learn today in a church life. Now, right? I mean, if you don't have a learning spirit, it doesn't matter where you go. Okay, we only have 5 minutes. So three things, right? Okay, so I better stop here. There are some questions. I think maybe they can begin. You want me the last group of questions? Yeah, since I'm here, okay. And we're here, you know, we can have dinner together.
Yeah.
If your question is not answered, we don't have all the answers, but we have a lot of questions, okay. Okay, because I mentioned matter of dreams. Okay, does God speak to us in dreams, and like in the book of Daniel, or do we dream? Does dream mean anything? Okay, this is easy, right? I mean, it's under God's sovereignty. Paul, he saw the dreams. And today I was in Germany. I was with a Farsi speaking and Arabic speaking. I was at a refugee camp. Some of those people actually had dreams. Have dreams today. Because in their environment, right, they can't even hear about Jesus. You get, you know what I mean, persecuted, killed. But the Lord appeared to them. The Lord still do that in the unusual cases. But most of us, the Lord said, blessed are you who your eyes have not seen. Remember, after he resurrected somebody called Doubting Thomas, and he was trying to finger the Lord, you know, touch the Lord. Unless, Lord, I put my finger in there, I won't believe. Well, anyway, he saw the Lord, he didn't touch. Anyway, he said, blessed are you who you have not seen. Because many of us, okay, we may see things. Our expectation of the Lord is physical. Like those from men in China, show me. If you don't show me, I don't believe. Then I tell them, show me your love. Let me cut out your heart and find love in your heart. I can cut out your heart, but you can't find your love because love is emotional. So it's not only physical, okay? We expect, oh, show me a 70 feet Jesus, you know, that. Okay, physical, no. The Lord, no. Maybe, I'm not saying yes or no, but we have to consider the central line. It's matter of the Spirit. We have to see things according to the Spirit. Right? Blessed are you who your eyes have not seen and yet believe. Right? We have not seen him, yet we love him. With what? Joy, right? But what's that verse? Right? With the joy, because we have seen. But one day we will see him at the consummation of this age. There are different ages. In the Old Testament, they're different. Okay. And same thing with speaking tongues. So another question. Should I speak in tongues to be saved? I was with a group of Christians on an airplane. They said, if you don't speak in tongues, you cannot be saved. Then I showed him many verses from the Bible. What does the Bible say? Let's come back. And you know, the Bible is our only standard. What does the Bible say? Mark 16:16, right? Gospel, Mark 16:16. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Have you believed?
Amen.
Have you been baptized? Are you saved?
Amen.
Amen. So the only requirement is this. Speaking tongues is a manifestation of the gift. We don't forbid speaking tongues, but this is not the central line. I don't have time. Because the central line, supporting line, and leaves and branches. Right, so this is God's central line. That means this is our faith. Our salvation does not depend on speaking tongues. So we can talk about later. Okay, we have quite a few complete. Okay, also speaking tongues. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10. And also 1 Corinthians chapter 14. If this is your question, please go. Paul spoke in tongues, but he said, I'd rather prophesy. That means I speak words of understanding than speaking tongues. You can do it yourself, but what builds up the church? He who prophesies builds up the church. This is what we get our prophesying from. Every Lord's Day, right, we have a Lord's table and prophesying meeting. It's by everyone speaking the word of God. Okay. Amen. Okay. Then, okay. Something about dating. Okay. Relationship. Right. I think, the relationships afterwards, you know, the different questions. I think, first of all, I think in our spirit, as a created human being, we know. Okay, we know. God so loved the world. Okay, the world is all kinds of world. Okay, God so loved the world. And yet, he was without sin. You understand? So, if we are in any kind of relationship, actually, if you yourselves, by asking some question, may have a feeling already. I think that the word is repent. That means turn to the Lord. Remember the blood of Jesus. Remember the woman, who committed adultery? They're asking, or a man is born blind a certain way. The Lord did not answer, right? He who without sin will cast the first stone, right? You remember the story, right? So he's caught in the middle of something. But the Lord said, but neither will I condemn you. But by not condemning, right, you, that means your sins are forgiven. So the others are, so who is this who can forgive sins? So if any kind of situation we're in, go to the Lord. Yes. His blood can cleanse our sins. There's nothing that the blood cannot cleanse. But the next word he said, go and sin no more. Okay, we may have something. How can we go and sin no more? Sin is here in the flesh. Everything is here. It's by living by the Spirit, by the empowering. There's another law. The law of Spirit of life has freed me from the law of sin and death in Romans chapter 8, verse 4. There's a struggle in Romans chapter 7. The things I want to do good, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, I do. So there's a war going on. Right? But here, sin no more. How can we sin no more? It's not by our will, right? Willing the flesh. Nor by willing, not by minding. No, just by enjoying the Lord.
Amen.
Eating, drinking Jesus. Yeah. So God so loved the world. So other questions, I think you can come. Sorry, there are many questions we cannot respond, but the time is up. I hope that, at least you got some help. Right? If you need more fellowship, do come to us afterwards. Amen. Can we have some prayer?
Yeah.
Amen. Lord Jesus. Amen. Lord. Amen. Thank you for precious cleansing blood.
Amen.
Oh, we can come
Amen.
To receive the full redemption.
Amen.
Oh, that the washing of our sins.
Amen.
Lord, we are a new creature.
Amen.
A new creation in Christ.
Amen.
We're regenerated with the regenerated spirit.
Amen.
Lord, we do want to learn. How to bring everything to you in prayer.
Amen.
Even Lord, our anxiety.
Amen.
Oh, everything that we have. We come to you.
Amen.
You are the answer of all our questions.
Amen.
Lord, we do all give all the college students to you.
Amen.
To gain us as vessels
Amen.
Unto honor.
Amen.
Oh, vessels useful to the master. Lord, cleanse us, preserve us,
Amen.
So we can be used by you.
Amen.
Oh, and teach us how to, live by the Spirit, not by the right and wrong.
Amen.
Oh, not by our natural man,
Amen.
Our own efforts,
Amen.
But we can live by the mingled Spirit
Amen.
For the building of the body,
Amen.
And to put us into companions.
Amen.
Oh, not only to have a personal relationship with you,
Amen.
But we can pursue together.
Amen.
We can flee the youthful lust. Pursue with those who call on your name out of a pure heart.
Amen.
Lord Jesus,
Amen.
We individually and corporately,
Amen.
This evening consecrate ourselves to you.
Amen.
May you have the free way, the full freedom in us, to express through us, to have your dominion through us.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.